It wasn't that hard to find you, Toretto.
Wasn't hiding. Wasn't hiding. Wasn't hiding. Wasn't hiding. Whatever
I am, only God can judge me now. One shot, everything rides on tonight. Even if I've got three strikes, I'ma go for it. This moment, we own it.
Hey, gearheads, it's 2021. 2020 is finally off our radar. And we're back, shiny and chrome, ready to talk more about, not Mad Max, Fast and the Furious 6. We're in chunk 3 with my podcast host, Murren.
Hey, what's up? I ran out of food. Okay, this doesn't make sense because you didn't hear the first part that we had to delete. Okay, hang on.
Oh, it'll be on the bloops reel. There'll be a bloops.
Okay. What's up? I got food in my mouth. I sound more like Vin Diesel.
We found out in the green room that Murren with food in his mouth sounds more like Vin Diesel. So he's going to be a sloppy boy today. We're super excited.
I was going to try and be all about precision for this episode because that's what Luke Evans talks about. But mm-hmm. That's just not me.
I'm a Vin Diesel sloppy boy. You're going to be precision, and you also have a new editing software, a new recording software, the Reaper. I'm using Reaper.
Reaper, super editing software. No,
is it
Audacity.
Like the NAS of
Audacity
editing?
Started. I've been doing voiceover work for like at home, you know, my income basically, and Audacity, the free program. Audacity started like eating files, so I had to get rid of that. It's free, so what are you gonna do?
The second it's, are you on a Mac too, right?
Oh yeah.
Oh, it loves on Mac. It loves to just shit the bed. And the second it does, you literally have to either throw the computer away or just turn off Audacity and never use it again. There's no way to fix it. Well, free software. That's where we get. All right. Let's get to our guests. Our guests tonight are two avid listeners of podcasts. Not ours, but of podcasts. Jarfizz.
And makers.
And, makers of podcasts. I mean, prolific. Prolific. One of them is one of the first. She's one of the first. You may know that giggle. That's Tierney. Hey, Tierney.
I have such a brand that I'm running here. Jeez.
You do. And also our friend Jarf is back. Welcome back, Jarf.
What's up?
Jarf, we went over this earlier, but you have many racer names.
I feel like you made up some of those. I don't remember all those.
No.
Were they all christened by the group?
So this is my third time on mm-hmm. Fast and the Furious, and I was with you for Too Fast, Too Furious.
Yep.
As Stroker Ace.
Yeah.
And then I came back.
The grossest of names.
kind of the alter ego to sex positive jerk. The other side mm-hmm. of the coin to that one.
Yeah.
The other side of the coin. And then I came back for Fast and Furious mm-hmm. as Snacks.
Yes, Snacks.
With two X's.
Because Han is part of the crew then.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. And now I'm ready to mix it up for F6 as Battery Daddy.
Okay. Now, some of these names you've gotten either through a chat that no one's part of or right. like in private, which is pretty funny. That you also have another one. Fluid Justice is one of the ones that came up. And I think that's one of your best. I think Fluid Justice is a great name. The only problem is your co-guest this week, I don't believe, has a name yet that we have christened. So you have too many, and she has none. So we need to rectify that in our opening, Tierney. Do you have anything? I know you had talked about there were some things you were thinking about. That's not how this works, but
no.
if you have some,
no.
but
you
it's
don't
okay.
have a choice. You don't have a say.
That's not how that works. No, what I was pointing out is, I grew up. There was that sweet spot where everyone had seen Smokey and the Bandit, but having to make up your AIM messenger name was not a thing yet. And so my friends and I would sit around the table in high school at lunchtime, like, what would our handle be if we were. Not
oh, like a trucker
but like
handle.
Out
yeah.
on the, you know,
the original
on the
AIM messenger.
Right. This is
yeah.
before. Yeah.
Yes.
This is before messenger. Like well, now, yeah. we all have like three or four names we automatically go to for messenger services.
Exactly.
And at that time, you're like, I don't know what would be my CB handle.
Yes. Yeah. CB handle. And my initials are TES. And so they were like, "Oh, you're the Tesseract." And I was like, "That's the coolest thing anyone's ever said to me." Yes. but no one said that since, like,
were you were you sitting at the jock table when this was in? With the football players? Yeah.
The football players were not reading Wrinkle in Time, trust me.
Okay, all right.
Tesseract sounds a little too heady for this series, but it is a cool name. It is a cool name.
I did like which one of you guys called me Stopwatch? Because I was figuring out times.
I recommended the name Stopwatch because this very day, Tierney taught Jonathan how time works.
It's not how time works. It's just how sometimes when it says 95 and a half minutes, I don't know how many hours and minutes, because the movie does it in hours and minutes. And sometimes I get confused and I think, wait, do I need to watch another 40 minutes or only 23? I don't know. I was just asking for a friend.
Of course, you can figure it out easily by using simple addition and subtraction. But why do that when I'll do it for you?
No, but I love that because my sister is actually a human metronome. She's a musician, and she can keep perfect time without anything keeping track of, and different beat. And she was drum major and in the pit and. So I was like, oh my God, if she's human metronome and I am stopwatch, we can, like, fight crime or something together.
That's pretty cool. And it all comes back to time, much like The Wrinkle in Time.
There we go. And I love, this franchise has a soft spot in my heart, and I'm not just saying that because I've watched, like, 8 movies in the past week. My sister and I have never agreed on what makes a man attractive or which people are attractive just in general ever, even in historical examples.
You get a lot of different flavors in this series.
Paul Walker as Brian O'Connor is the only person on this earth that my sister and I were both like, he's cute, this is good. And so the Fast and the Furious was one of the very few, it was a real bonding moment where it's like, oh my God, we agree on this, let's just watch this forever.
So two sisters who couldn't be more different in their tastes, united by tuna on white bread.
By Converse sneakers and...
have we ever come to a consensus of who we think the hottest person in each movie is, like to each artist? I mean, I know it's subjective and kind of creepy, but we can do it because they're mostly dudes. So
yeah, we're just talking about the guys, so it's not as loaded.
Whereas my first thought was like, oh, I guess Gal's probably the hottest.
Yeah, I mean, sure. We could just sort of, set that aside. But yeah, we haven't really talked about that. That was a point break minute thing we would do. Do you choose Keanu or Patrick Swayze?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be easier just to say, are you a Diesel or are you a Rock? Are you on Team Hobbs?
No, but then,
or are
then
you
there's
on team
there's so
Terrell?
Many other options. Like those are two meatheads, and you might not be into that.
Sometimes
you want Han.
Han and Brian and even Tej, you know, Roman's Tej too, but Roman
Tyrese is really like
he was a model.
He's an attractive, like if you put him in a magazine along with Brian, you'd be like, yeah, they're both models.
He's kind of like Seal, but without the scar.
Yeah,
he's just like,
and in
like
any other movie, he would
and, like,
be the beefcake.
Beautiful.
It's just he's in a movie with Uber beefcakes.
Yeah,
so
like in any other movie. Like we've seen him with his shirt off. He's shredded. Everyone in this movie is pretty shredded.
If you notice, they don't ever show his body in these movies on purpose. Like I think
except
he
in Too Fast, Too Furious.
Yeah, that was weird. He wore that that Incredible Hulk little.
He like tears off his shirt and to like punch the window out, and you see his abs. But since then. Maybe he hasn't done the. Maybe he's lost the abs. Maybe since then.
There's no way he's as doughy as Vin Diesel.
No. I mean,
watching Too Fast, Too Furious for the first time since the year it came out on television. Like it was a revelation because we put it on. So I was watching Fast and Furious with someone who had never seen any of them, and we put the disc in, and I turned to him and I was like, I don't remember anything other than they're in Miami. And he was like, well, there's a little preview thing on how he gets there. And I'm like, didn't see that. Don't remember anything. And then as we were watching, I'm like, oh, and I'm like, they're going to go on the boat. Holy crap. It's all coming back to me now.
that boat scene is pretty great. I'm surprised someone other than us knows that the turbocharged prequel exists.
Yeah, that's solid. That's solid
that.
Research.
That
takes
Los
commitment to find that extra on the DVD.
Because they're both not anything.
Yeah. And
they're nothing.
They weren't on ours. He had to like YouTube. So I'm married to a librarian, so it's like a challenge as far as he's concerned.
Ooh,
I think
we should come up with a name for him, too. Should
question.
We name your husband? We should name your husband. God, it's hard.
Yeah. How do we fit in books to this, you know, to racing?
I mean, you could call him Fingers because he's always like, you know.
That's not great.
I know. It's not great. Shuffle.
Decimal.
Stacks.
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 Stacks is good. It rhymes with
stacks.
With two X's.
Stacks is stacks.
Yep.
Yeah, with two X's.
Y'all
for
can
sure.
hang out.
Nice.
Stacks it is.
Stacks, in parentheses, Fingers.
No.
Well, we should talk about Fast and Furious 6 or Furious 6, depending on what
our juicy
copy
chunk.
You have of it.
Well, let's talk about this chunk. It is minute, time code 63 and change to 95 and change, correct?
Yes, I believe that's correct.
So for those of you that don't convert, it's an hour and
5
minutes.
You got to ask stopwatch whether that's correct.
To an hour and like 38 minutes.
If you're following along at home. Yeah, it's I think it's 65 minutes to 98 minutes. So each chunk is 33 minutes long.
It is.
Although we're going to talk about
longer.
We're going to talk about a little bit just before a little bit at the end of the last chunk.
We're talking about a little bit of the last
so
chunk.
Get even more confused.
So
it's all off
about.
Now.
I don't remember talking about it. So for those of you, there are no cars in it, so it won't mess up Jeff's listener Jeff's totals.
Don't have to add
on
anything.
Cars. You won't have to add anything. There's no cars in the scene, so it's all good. So let's talk about that real quick. We're in the cell with Brian and our bad guy from two movies ago.
From Fast and Furious, Braga.
Yes,
yeah.
Braga. And Brian is now on top of him, as you do in prison, and he's shivving him in the leg, getting information. And at this point, the reason why I don't remember talking about it, because I think I would have brought up and remembered he has been put in jail by the FBI, and he is shivving another person. So, yeah, he's being shivved, and basically we're learning that Shaw won't let you near him unless he wants you near him. So he's planned all this stuff ahead of time. That's why he's one step ahead. And basically Toretto and all these guys are walking into a trap. Everything is going to be a trap. Everything you think, it's the heist.
It's a giant chess game. He's always.
I just watched the Rick and Morty episode of the heist episode from last season of Rick and Morty. If you haven't watched it, it's about heist. It's the funniest damn thing you've ever seen. And he's always two steps ahead of you, or the heist has already happened. You know, it's one of those things where when we made the bet, I've already stolen the thing we were making the bet about. You know, that kind of thing. So. Now Brian has to get out of jail, I guess, after he just shivved an inmate. So I'm sure that's going to cause some problems, you'd think.
And yet it's never mentioned again.
You'd think that would be a big issue to get through, but nope.
You think like one of the guards would come by and be like, because I don't know you're a cop, so dude, you just shivved
that guy.
Does
Braga die, or is he just like injured?
I think he stabbed him in the femoral artery, and yes, I think that's it.
I mean, you don't
Braga.
See him
think,
again after this, I don't think.
They try and do it by showing, not telling. So they didn't show him, so I assume he's dead.
That's what if you don't see someone, just assume they're dead. Like Han, totally dead.
Assume they're dead until they're told that 2 days later they're alive.
Sorry.
But then they die again. This is also a spoiler for what's going on right now in the real world.
Well, so there's a spoiler.
Rest in peace, Tanya.
I was trying to be really good about not spoiling anything for Jarf, because I know you're watching along with the podcast. And I just watched things, but... I feel like since
like
it's
a normal
in the,
person, whereas Jarf watches it like a crazy person.
Oh, sorry for being a listener of your podcast.
No.
We appreciate
since
your
it's
commitment.
In the trailer for 9, I feel like it is fair to say that the entire time we've been watching this, I've been insisting to Stacks with the X's that Han is dead and not coming back the way he said he was. Because he's supposed to be coming back in 9. And I'm like, no, it's going to be a flashback. It's going to be something like this. No,
maybe
trust me,
maybe they find
dead.
A wish stone and wish him back to life.
I literally was like, no, I'm the expert
too
on
soon.
Fast and the Furious in this family. Trust me, he's not alive. And then we finished 8. He turns and he's like, you ready to watch the trailer for Nine? I was like, yes, of course. And Han walks in. I was like, yeah.
Went into that not knowing that Han, I mean, that's crazy because I know Jarf, like, not spoilers for Jarf, because Jarf definitely knew about the Han was coming
back. Hang on,
like,
Jarf, seen, like, have you seen the end of this movie? Or are you watching it chunk by chunk?
You have not seen the end of this movie. I have not seen the end of this
movie. That's why I just was talking.
So it literally cuts off right at the end of what we're talking about. You have no idea.
98.34 seconds is when he does not know what happened. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, good to Jeff, know. You are in for a treat.
Well, just so you know, Han doesn't die in this movie, so.
Yeah, I just remembered that, and I was like, oh, crap, I shouldn't have.
You already know that. You already know that he died because he died five movies ago in the future.
That's true. God damn it.
I'm in this period when they're like, oh, maybe we should go to Tokyo. I don't know. One day we'll go to Tokyo. Ah.
He's going
to
bring it up again. Don't worry.
This is a very, like, heart-wrenching, like, little, between Letty and Tokyo. It's a whole thing.
Yeah, it's a lot of emotion, a lot of feelings in this chunk.
And the feelings, I think, are merited. Like, I don't mind the acting in these scenes. All the scenes with her being gone and then Dom, you know, the next scene after Brian shivs, we get the booty party. Thank God. What are we going to do? We hadn't had our booty party.
We haven't had a race for... Okay, so yeah, we start off after... So Brian shivs the guy, shivs Braga, and then we cut away from that, right? We assume he's dead. Ryan's probably just going to be stuck in jail now because, you know, he's not going
to
be able to get out.
No, we have to see Systak's broken nose again.
Yeah, but right now we don't know that. We just think, well, Brian's going to jail.
Yeah, I assume after this scene, like, there's going to be a huge issue where, you know, he gets stuck there and they're going to have to, like, break him out maybe, you know. Anyway. But yeah, we go back to London and Dom pulls up next to Letty and they're gonna race.
He's gonna race for her soul,
if you will.
Mm-hmm. Those of you that did research, what kind of car is he driving?
Oh, he's driving a Dodge Challenger, I believe.
With a big ass fin.
Those are cool cars. I had a Hot Wheels of that as a kid. It was really cool. And she's driving a Jensen Interceptor, which is an English muscle car. And I have to say, the Jensen might be my favorite car in the series. It's a little weird, but it's very me. I just really dig it.
Even though it later on, Dom incorrectly categorizes it as American muscle.
Okay, well, I have a note about that. I had to look into this. He's not wrong, because he specifically brings up, oh, it's a V8. You could never resist American muscle. The Jensen Interceptor uses a Chrysler V8 engine, so it's an American engine.
Well, I knew that. I was obviously baiting.
I'm a gearhead, baby. I know these things, obviously.
I know these things. There you go. Did you notice that the orange car in the first 2 seconds of this minute, the license plate is whose car? It's who WH05CCR, and it looks like whose car. And I was just like, "That's cool. Whose car?
Whose car? Aww. Run's car."
So they're at some sort of London party. I love that. No matter what country they're in, the party is basically the same. It's like, guys, we got to find a round place. To have this party.
Yeah,
it always has to be
like
a
cool square where no one else is going to bother us for some reason.
This one's, though, much more high-end than Brazil. I mean, this has a stage in the middle, kind of a Beyonce-style Super Bowl stage.
Rita Ora is there, so maybe she's going to do some songs
with her. Yeah, she brought cool stuff.
Who's Rita Ora is?
Rita Ora. Okay, we'll get to that. So Letty is meeting Dom. She's kind of meeting Dom for, you know, she saw him before and she took a shot at him. But this is kind of, she doesn't remember him and she's meeting him for the first time. What would you think meeting this man for the first time, this potato head muscle guy who says he knows you and he's challenging you to a race now?
Oh, see, that's why I love this whole sequence between the two of them, because she sees him and she's like, oh, didn't I try and kill you? Like, what I like is that Letty totally falls for Dom again.
Yeah, you can,
like,
tell
she's
already
into,
like,
it.
I like this. Yeah, she is predisposed
she's
to like this
it.
Man, even if she doesn't remember who he is. It's like, it's just, it's destiny.
It's like really... 50 first dates. He knows everything about her, so he just caters what he's talking about to her.
Right, and naturally they have a street race because... street racing is their love language.
Yeah.
Yes, it is their foreplay.
How they communicate.
It's their four-by-four play.
Yeah, when he challenges her to the race, she says, you got serious balls, And I was just sort of, he's like, your balls have no sense of humor whatsoever.
Yeah, that was a weird beat.
I've been told. My balls, well, I wanted him to my be balls like, have so no sense told. Of humor whatsoever.
It's a medical condition.
It's actually,
I've got serious balls.
It's actually a really, it's tragedy. It makes
it's
life
hereditary.
Very difficult.
Makes sitting a chore. So yeah, he instead of this is Brazil, we get this is London, baby.
Yeah, that's Rita Ora. She does she's
okay,
countdown
who's
for this
Rita
movie.
Ora? Who is that?
Rita Ora. So I looked at the Wikipedia and that wasn't that interesting. So I decided to just look at the top news stories. Top news stories for Rita Ora.
Did you see the best headline ever?
There's some pretty good ones. Rita Ora and Rob Kardashian dating? Number two.
Am them?
That's not the best. That's awful.
Number two. Rita Ora apologizes for second breach of COVID lockdown restrictions.
Okay.
That's upsetting.
Because this is London, baby!
Third from BuzzFeed. Someone had to remind Rita Ora that she dated Rob Kardashian because she totally forgot. And then fourth, in an ongoing sequence of this, Rita Ora makes rare... This is all within, like, a month. Rita Ora makes rare comment about her very fun relationship with Rob Kardashian.
So, what you're saying is she dated Rob Kardashian.
She did. And she may or may not remember it. She may have
a
Leti condition. She may have amnesia.
Well, I also forgot because I have seen... Unfortunately, all the seasons of Keeping Up with the Kardashians was this during it at any point?
I've never seen any of that show. Apparently, this is all in the last month.
Oh,
I don't know when her relationship was, but all this stuff that came out.
Well, because Rob is one of my favorite. Rob Kardashian is one of those fail sons that's like chef's kiss. His parents are, you know, obviously the Kardashians. He is brother to. Three of quite possibly the most famous women, four really, but three of them like have made multi-million to billion dollars. And then there's Rob. And Rob is a doughboy who started a sock company. That didn't go well because he thought designer socks were what people wanted. And then he's had some other business dealings over the years. And then I watched him spiral into a depression on the show. So it's pretty bad.
But you don't remember him dating Rita Ora during the show.
No,
maybe he doesn't remember.
I remember he dated. Was it Blac Chyna? I believe that's a name.
That is
that
a
just
name.
Came out of my head.
I can't tell you any more than that.
That's her name.
That's her. That's
just.
Well, her,
I'm not. I'm not giving her name. Eraser. I'm not giving her eraser name. That is her name.
Why not both?
So Rita Ora, I should say, she's also a singer. She apparently has like
yeah, that's
the,
what she's actually.
She has like the
for.
Most. I think on Wikipedia it said she has the most top 10 hits of any in the UK of any artist of any female
of any artist,
artist
who has dated
artist.
Rob Kardashian.
Any artist who's maybe dated Rob Kardashian but forgot. She's also in all the 50 Shades of Grey movies.
I'm sorry, what? Mm-hmm. I've seen two of those.
She is.
You can see
Mia
what's happening.
Gray.
Yeah, Mia Gray. Is that like that is. Christian Gray's sister or something?
It's got to be right.
Again,
daughter?
To paint a picture of what happens in my house, my wife watches some of this stuff, and I may not be sober when that happens. And those Christian Grey movies, I saw two of them in the theater with her, and I have pictures somewhere, and I'll find them, of me like sneaking flasks in and things like that. Like, it's bad. Like, I don't remember those movies. Those movies are – like, she knows that, too. She just literally wants someone to sit with because she doesn't want to go to a movie by herself. And, you know, I've seen that, Sex and the City 2 in theaters, you know, that kind of stuff. So just know I'm up on my culture, this real high-end culture. The only problem that I had with this scene is I didn't understand the don't bite the bait line that
she
says.
I didn't get that either.
She's like, don't bite the bait. And I'm like, is that something that's going to happen? Is there bait? Like, are they supposed to go
she
grab
says,
something?
She says, we do what we want. This is London, baby. But remember, don't bite the bait. I don't, yeah.
Anyone know what don't bite the bait means? I understand don't take the bait, so maybe this is like the kind of the British version of don't take the bait. What bait are we talking about?
There is
about?
No bait.
Okay. I thought maybe they were supposed to like grab something and then bring it back. Like that was the race. I don't know.
Yeah, there could be some kind of thing where like, you know, like, where there's like a cool...
It's like when you play video games, and there are different kinds of video games. Like, you can play Rumble, or you can scrimmage, or you can do, like, 1v1. Don't Bite the Bait is like Capture the Flag. It's like has its own rules. I don't know what those rules are, but it has them.
This... Could it be something to do with the cops showing up? Because this is one of those races, and this franchise got really big into, like, let's not bother shutting down the streets for our races.
Yeah.
Let's just go with it.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I was going to bring up the race itself. This is the most public race we've ever seen. I mean, just the sheer number. I think I take it back. In Tokyo Drift, I would say this is the most in a Dom race we've ever seen. Because we haven't gotten to Race Wars yet. We went to the original Race Wars, but there weren't this many people at it.
Well, and in the original Race Wars, we don't even see Dom race. We see Letty race and Jesse race.
Right.
And then everything.
But they're there. They're there. It's an event. Like, this is an event. But everything is packed. Piccadilly Circus is packed with people. Obviously, they were literally watching this movie being made, which is hilarious.
Some of them were tiny children.
I'm like, did you guys not, like, in the movie version, in the movie world, did you guys not? You just said, yeah, it's London. We do what we want. We're just going to have them drive down Piccadilly Circus. It's like, no, that's like where tourists are. And like, they're all in the road.
It looks like a very stressful place to have a street race. There's lots of traffic.
And way too much drifting.
Yeah.
Well, that was another thing I noticed. This was the first time that I can remember seeing Dom drift.
Yeah. Well, he learned how to do it. No, wait. That's in the future. I was going to say, he learned how to do it when he met Han.
He knows how to do it.
That has happened.
Yes, that has not happened yet. But also, would know how to drift, I would think.
Yeah, I mean,
but there's some straight up drifting in this, and I was like, oh,
well, does he drift in? I mean, it's not a race, but he drifts in Fast Five when they have the safe, right? I mean, he has to at some point. Kinda.
Sure, I guess that's
a little different.
Han could have talked.
I think careening uncontrollably through the streets of Brazil,
the vault did drift. The cars may not have drifted.
The vault drifts into other buildings.
The vault drifts through some buildings and some cars.
And people probably.
Yeah, and people probably died, yeah.
Like, this is the first time I've seen him properly drift.
Yeah, I'll agree. I'll take that.
Like, we actually see Letty pull up the handbrake to drift. Mm-hmm. As we all know, as gearheads, you have to use that to drift.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's all about the e-brake.
So
every once in a while when I'm driving and there's no one else around, I'm like, what if I just pulled on this thing and, like, slammed the steering wheel right? Like, what would
happen?
Don't
do it. Save it for the movies.
What I do, Jarf.
Tierney mentioned the tiny children observing
this
race. And that's where I had a question. Because, like you said, this is a very public race. And they cut to a baby on a bus watching them race by. And they focus in on the baby. And you see the baby give this astonished expression as they whip their head by and watch them zoom past. So what in the mind of the filmmakers is supposed to be going through this baby's head?
Oh,
because
I have a kid, and if he saw two cars go by, he would, like, throw himself off that bus to go catch them. If he could.
Yes, but wouldn't a child that young be astonished by anything they saw at whatever speed, since they don't understand the rules that you're not supposed to drive 100 plus miles per hour in the road?
No, this kid was probably very excited to be on a bus, and now there are fast cars. They got that. They know that part. But to be fair, I did take him to the grocery store as, like, excitement this weekend. So your point does stand.
Grocery stores are fun for kids, too. Yeah.
Yeah, he was like, ooh. And with all the pandemic stuff, he hasn't gotten to go to the grocery store in a while. And so he was like, oh, you're going to let me hold a box of cereal? But yeah, he would, if he saw two cars go speeding by, he would just be like, toys.
Maybe the kid was not as young as I thought they looked. It looked like a 2-year-old to me.
out at night, in the middle of the night, in Piccadilly Circus.
Just on the bus by themselves.
We don't know where he's from. Maybe the time change has got him all messed up.
Yeah.
And his parents are just like, oh my God, let's just take him on the bus. He will.
I don't know. Take him to Piccadilly Circus. Maybe the noise will make him go to sleep. I hear there's a street race there tonight. Maybe that'll make him fall asleep finally. I know my kids, we take them to movies for that reason. We took them to movies really young because I knew they would pass out from overload of sensory overload. They just pass out. It's great.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to pass out from sensory overload an hour and a half into recording this episode.
Yes, exactly. when you fall asleep on air. Like I said, I watched all these movies in a very short amount of time, and I was like, that shot, that's like from the other movie. And so then I looked up the trivia, and it's the same kid. So do we need to come up with some weird in-universe explanation?
It's Peter Parker.
Not even noticed this shot. I don't know what other movie it's from.
I want to say it's Tokyo Drift.
Sounds like it'd be Tokyo, yeah.
And
maybe it's one of the producer's kids?
It's Justin Lin's son.
Okay.
Is what I read.
Cool.
Oh, that's fun.
And so they did the same. Yeah, because when I was watching it, it kind of pinged my brain of like, this feels familiar. So
what you mean is it happens in this movie first and then happens in Tokyo Drift.
Yes, exactly.
I didn't write this. They did.
Can I just go back to watching you guys drink Coronas in Portland?
I
understood what was happening then.
Well, that was so long ago. We were so young then.
Yeah, we have yet to get to the timeline of Tokyo Drift. It is still in the future at this point.
Speaking of getting to things, I completely forgot this. Mern got married while we were off.
Oh, yeah, it's been like 3 months. It's a new year. I'm married now.
I even came up with a new nickname for you for the show.
Oh, yeah.
You're Mr. Bangs.
that's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, you're Mr. Bangs, because his wife's name is...
Her racer name is
Bangs,
which doesn't really make sense. Well, I guess, like, cars make bang noises.
She's a haircutter.
Yeah, and cars, like, make bang noises sometimes, I guess. Mr. Bang... Anyway, yeah, I like it. Mr. Bangs sounds good.
You're Mr. Bangs.
Gun show is getting a little stale, so...
Yeah, so you're Mr. Bangs. I don't have a new nickname yet, because you didn't bother to come up with one, but that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. We'll figure it out later. I'm still the gate as of last recording. So I'm stuck with it for now. It's fine. It's fine. Okay. So we're about to go to the end of the race. Dom beats Letty.
Does she like just run out of Nas? She like presses the button and just, like nothing happens. She's like, ah.
Because shifts. She shifts too early. He says she shifts.
Oh, yeah. That's always what happens. That's always what happens when you lose a race in these movies. You shift too early.
And we start what I like to call the scar cute. They have their scar cute where he basically explains her scars to her.
So many scars.
And they explain the scars. And one thing that comes up, he's like, why does he say it this way? He's like, you got that scar in the DR. No one calls the Dominican Republic the DR.
He wants to sound like he's like, he knows it. He's local.
But she doesn't know where she's from. So she wouldn't know what the DR is.
I know.
Wait, what?
The DR is totally something I have heard just in passing. There's a huge Dominican community in Boston, and a lot of baseball players are from there, and I've definitely heard people say the DR. No, they did not have that gravelly inflection that he's got going on, but yeah.
I'm just telling you, I looked up the DR and all I got were Doctor Who episodes. So just know you know.
Doctor, yeah. You got the scar in the doctor.
That's what they're going to do when Jodie Whittaker leaves. It's all clear now.
Jonathan, I think that says more about your algorithm than it says about the internet at large.
It really does.
At the end of Doctor Who, they're just going to cut away and he's going to turn into Han. Han's going to go to Tokyo. He's going to be the doctor next. That would be amazing.
He just shows up. He's
joking.
Like,
I'd watch that show.
That would be
He walked in eating a cracker wearing a fez. He's like, I eat crackers now, and I wear fezes because fezes are cool.
And I'd be like, the police box is a tuner import.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be awesome. Amazing. Let's make this.
Now, you know, they've done so many different kinds. They've done like James Bond themed episodes of Doctor Who. I would like a Fast and Furious style car. They don't really do cars much in the show. Like cars are never usually the main part of the show. Hmm. It would be hilariously weird. Have we ever seen the Doctor behind the steering wheel of a car?
Doesn't know how to drive.
I don't really know anything about Doctor Who, but could it be like a couple of different doctors racing around in their TARDISes?
They've done that. They've had more than one doctor together, but they've never had the wherewithal to say, we should street race.
Also, it is, you know, a doctor can time travel, so a race is kind of like, I'll just time travel to the end.
I'll live my life one quarter century at a time.
Like that. If you could have your time machine and go and be in a race. These are your two stipulations. It has to be a race. Who would you race and what time period would you race in? You could actually bring two people. You could bring someone from another time, like, and race them in a different time. But what would you, it's cars. I'm not saying go and, you know, create a car out of wood in the Trojan, you know, come on. Where would you race somebody? Like, what history event would you race somebody in if you had the power?
What history event? I mean, like, the chariots would be cool, I guess.
I just said you can't. It has to have cars. Okay, so it has to be from at least the 1890s.
What is a car? It has wheels. I don't know.
Not a cart.
So I can rate.
What is a car? You guys are known for cars,
or can it just be anyone?
I know.
And like give them
a such
car.
A horse. I'm such a horse head. So you can do whatever you want. Whichever. If you want to do chariots, you can do chariots. Fine.
It would be fun.
I was thinking, would it be fun to like go to World War II and during the storming of Normandy, you have to race the entire beach.
The beach is one
so
person
close
with a car.
To the tank. What are you doing?
We're teasing the tank. Hey guys, there's a tank going to be in this.
Yeah,
we
were just talking about how like our episodes are getting shorter, and now we've barely talked about anything in the chunk.
We're
having fun.
Don't
worry. I tried for you, Jarf.
Neither Jarf nor Tierney has anywhere to be. We're fine. We're good on time.
We don't go to bed early at all.
Do you know about The Great Race? There's that movie, The Great Race. Not about Hitler or anything like that.
Not The Amazing Race.
No, not The Amazing Race either. I think it was called The Great Race, and it was like Tony Curtis and Jack Lemmon are in it. And it's about this historical race that happened, and there's also an episode of The Dollop about it, the podcast The Dollop.
Yeah, it's like the Cannonball Run, but it's European or something.
Well, it's multi-continental against all odds. It's a race from New York to Paris, and somehow they thought you could do that because you would race through Alaska and drive over the ice to Russia. They literally thought that's what that would happen. If I could not be put my life in danger, it would be fun to be part of that. But people, you know, didn't make it all the way, so... Mm.
So Letty has fallen for Dom again, but now...
Yeah, she's
into
it.
We get a reminder, too, as we go over her scars, that he met her when she was 15.
Which is not...
Kind of weird.
And he was 28.
Yeah, not...
We don't know how this works.
It almost said, I had to turn on the subtitles because it said, like, and we were 15. And I was like, are you saying, and we were 15? Because I don't believe that. And then I turned on the subtitles, and it is, you were 15, and... Yeah, to look it up again, but he is 10 years older than her.
All right. Okay.
So, moving on. Scar talk.
Yeah, let's not.
and then he shows her his scar below the waistband
as
well.
His matching scar.
Yeah. They both pull their waistbands down to show the scars, too.
He's getting sexy.
Also, he said she got a scar in the DR during night swimming. Does this mean she got a scar during Los Bandoleros? Because that's lame.
Yes.
That's unfortunate. Yes. Not even during a main movie.
So right after they cut away in that movie, she's like, God damn it. Because she just got
pulled
across.
She dove in the water
coral.
And got cut on a rock and was like bleeding out.
What I love is that... Letty seems like the type of character who would scream and swear when that happened. Like this incredibly romantic night swimming moment, and you would just hear her just swearing up a storm. Like,
and then she and Dom are just chumming the water with blood because they're just both profusely bleeding out of these. I mean, those are big scars. Those aren't a minor scratch. They have like that ridge, that bump that you get.
Yeah, the scarification.
That's a major scar.
I was very puzzled that Vin managed to get himself the exact same scar. He saw what happened to Letty.
Well,
he went in to help, and he's like, whoops, I just gouged myself on the very same coral in the very same spot. So that one day...
God damn it, Dominic, I just burned my hand on the stove. It was hot. Let me come help you. Oh, God damn it, I just burned my hand on the stove.
I was trying to protect your hand with my hand.
Now, that actually transitions very well to the next showdown here.
So Letty leaves, and then who shows up next?
Shaw.
Owen
not,
Shaw.
Not that Shaw. Owen Shaw. Yeah, and Owen's all about precision.
Yeah.
That's where we get that
So
line.
I guess this is one of those movies where everyone knows where everyone is at all times because of tracking devices, I guess.
Sure.
Yeah.
They bring up that MacGuffin a lot. It's a lot of knowing. His code's precision. Dom's code's family. What's your code, Tierney?
I did not know there would be a quiz.
That's a pretty deep question. Just throw on.
Yeah, something. Yeah. You can't spring that.
I sure can. Well, by the end of the episode, I'll need
this
to know.
This is your podcast. To be fair,
definitively, what your code is, and it can't ever change again.
And precision and loyalty are already taken. It can't be one of those.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. If someone says what you were going to say, you can't say that.
I claim a good night's rest.
That's a good code. Guess what? You're breaking that code tonight, my friend.
Jarf with a dream.
That code ain't happening. Oh. My code is definitely mayhem.
Mayhem. Okay.
Mayhem at all times. I thrive in mayhem, both in work, my life. I enjoy... I'm a problem solver. I enjoy it.
So the mayhem, you welcome the mayhem, but it's also like an adversary. It's like a great adversary that you respect.
Yes.
Okay.
It's a hat tip to mayhem.
That makes sense.
So I guess my code isn't mayhem. That doesn't make any sense because it wouldn't be mayhem. It would be No, I'll have to work on it like Tierney is.
Yeah, I need to learn more about Hobbs because I did find myself occasionally being embarrassingly relating to a Dwayne the Rock character, and I did not know how to feel about that because you see me. I am not a muscly international criminal hunting agent person, but there are definitely times throughout this franchise where I'm like, yeah, that attitude, like, he doesn't roll his eyes, but, like, he sighs and you feel it in your bones where he's like, I guess I'm gonna go do this. But he always comes through. And in this chunk, he's gonna say, he's like, I've never been so excited to do paperwork in my life. And I was like, yeah.
That's a pretty good line.
While I think his code, jokingly, is baby oil, I think his code is daddy's gotta go to work. I think he loves his job.
Yeah.
And I think we learned that later
that
in the movies.
That line's not,
the,
you haven't seen that line yet, Jarf, but that's coming up.
Yeah.
Oh, I've seen it as a GIF, so I'm familiar.
Okay.
And it's and in this chunk, we're going to see the greatest moment in an FF movie. That is the second greatest moment in an FF movie is when Daddy gotta go to work. That is the second greatest. The you guys are so lucky. It's not luck. We chose you on purpose. You get the greatest moments in this movie. We're never going to get to them because we're going to run over on time.
Some top moments in the franchise here. As a whole, I would say.
Yes, yeah. I would say so.
I think this might be my favorite of the franchise.
This was an
this
awesome
is a really
joke. Yeah.
Solid.
This is
movie.
The one that I tell people, and I'll tell you when the moment happens. This is the movie that I saw at home. I had not seen this one in the movie theater, and I watched it grudgingly because I'm like, there's literally nothing else on. And this scene happened, and I stood up and just screamed, hell yes, as loud as I could at the scene we're going to talk about here in a second. And I was like, I have to go watch all these movies. And I literally went and watched all of them and have seen the rest in theaters, but... This was the one that like got me back on a rainy, probably Sunday afternoon. Just like, I was like, oh my God, this movie, if this is how they all are, they're not. But if from now on, this is how they are, I'm going to watch every one of these movies forever.
Yeah. Yeah, and they've definitely taken the action set pieces and tried to up them each time.
It is a good movie, though. Yeah. Like, the acting's pretty good.
Because we have this like emotional quiet time.
Yeah.
Like happy emotion, challenging emotion, and then it's like, and now it's time for an action.
Yeah, it has a nice pace to it, and I think you were saying like it is kind of effective. I think Vin Diesel and Michelle Rodriguez are actually good in these scenes. you know, they're cheesy, but it's like it's kind of effective, mm-hmm. despite that.
They have excellent chemistry, yeah. as we learned watching that live music event for the the launch party. Like them, like talking to each other backstage is not two coworkers talking; they are best friends. Mm-hmm. You can tell the way that they like cut up and are just. I mean, the fact that Vin Diesel is cutting up with her and he's really not talking to anyone else kind of tells you something.
I feel like Michelle Rodriguez is like. He's like the friend slash ex-boyfriend that she's kind of embarrassed about, but she can't help but like have fun with him.
Yeah, like America and London, in England.
Sure,
we're that fun ex-girlfriend that Britain loves.
Yeah, and I will say I love the Letty character, but I also love Michelle Rodriguez in general. Yeah. So I have to give a shout out to Blue Crush just because.
Yeah, I'll second that. Yeah. And in terms of their chemistry. On screen, I think that this is, at least for what I've seen so far, this is the best of Vin and Michelle. Because
I agree.
And I'm not a huge fan of the whole you've lost your memory storyline.
Yeah.
But it kind of works for the situation now because their chemistry didn't work for me 100% before. Because they were both so taciturn, so it was just too real, like, super tough street racer types. But now that she's...
I've known you since you were 15.
They would kind of butt heads together. They would be kind of like an adversarial romantic relationship where they would just kind of like break each other's balls all the time.
But now that she's a little bit lost because of the amnesia, now there's a little bit... at least more of a contrast between them.
Yeah. And Vin has to Dom has to show some vulnerability to get her on his side, mm-hmm. too. And he does that well, I think. He does a good job being like the tough guy who has a heart.
Yeah.
So Shaw and he talk. He tries to get him out of the... He's like, you can leave. He's like, I'll leave if you give me Letty. He's like, well, then this negotiation's over. Red light on his chest, red pinprick on his chest from a sniper. He also has one, which I'm glad Dom knew he was going to show up because it seemed like a really big gamble to take, and he does it, and Shaw has a gun. Shaw is holding a sniper rifle in his hands, and that dot is not moving on his chest. I was just like, okay, from that far away, you'd think it would, like, you know, wiggle.
Yeah. But it's just someone holding holding a laser pointer just off camera.
Basically, he's free-handing a sniper rifle, whereas everyone else has to, like, lean it on something and, like, have some sort of mount for it. he's just raw-dogging that thing and holding it up.
And, well, that's what he does all those workouts with the chains for, so he can hold up those guns with the gun. He's holding up the gun with the guns.
He's literally the gun show.
It's the gun show.
So they part. Although I didn't understand why Hobbs didn't arrest him right then because he was just had another guy there. This seemed like this is the time right now. This is the time.
Well, he would have. I mean, the guy was still had the gun trained on Dom, right? So he had a hostage.
I'd kill Dom to get Shaw.
Well, that's a good point. But like, I also
bullets
feel like,
don't affect family. Him. Bullets don't affect him. We learned this. Letty shot him. He's fine.
You just get him back. But yeah, I think this chunk also shows more of The Rock like giving up his professionalism too. Where he's like, oh yeah, the rules don't matter as much as like the right thing to do, which he's sort of learning from
family. I think that he's falling in love with Dom a little bit too in these scenes.
Aww.
He and Letty.
Yeah.
I love it.
You know,
so we go back to probably the hardest thing I've ever had to read, which was Tej's monitors of red font explaining technical things to me. And I'm like, the hell does this say, Tej? It's in red. Do you have like another... Like, do you have another font package, or maybe is there a theme we can change so that everything on the computer is not red? I'm looking at red right now. Those are red words with a lightly red background. I apologize. I can't really read this. So that was my next note is like, I can't handle Tej's.
Yeah, that'd
Tej's,
be rough.
Setup.
Is this where he gets a call from? No, that's late. Is this where he gets a call from The Rock?
Yes.
He gets a call from Samoan Thor.
Samoan Thor. But then Thor. The Rock is like, what have you got for me? And then I'm like, well, shouldn't Tej have called The Rock if he just found some information? But then we wouldn't
also,
get the Samoan Thor joke.
We wouldn't get the joke. And also, don't you think The Rock has his own team out there helping? Obviously not. Now he's given Dom's team.
No, he just has Riley. He just has Gina Carano and then Vin Diesel's team.
Yeah, so they now know it's going to be this place in Spain. So they're driving to Spain, and while they're going to do that, Brian comes back.
I did love the shot. Brian gets up on the elevator. Like, he's had all these experiences. He's got the intel. The door's open, and everyone's just walking away with their bags. Like,
oh. And you get Roman like, you son of a bitch.
Classic heist line.
I'm putting together a team, you son of a bitch. I
missed the little scene where Brian was leaving L.A. with Stasiak, with Shea Whigham. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he's like, thanks for like putting your career and life on the line for this. And anyway, bye. And it's like, there's almost a moment where he's like handshake or like, you know, hand clasp. But then he just leaves, doesn't thank him.
Sorry, I shivved one of your...
I punched you. You might have been killed or at very least lost your career and been thrown in jail for all this. But yeah, bye.
Yeah.
So while that's happening, we cut to Spain real quick. We see one of...
That was also the point where I was like, okay, I guess there wasn't really any issue getting him out of prison even though he shivved someone.
Yeah, it's not addressed. I guess it's fine.
No, we do have to mention... one thing I read, and I really want this to be true, it's very weird, but apparently that scene is... Shit, no, it's later. Just kidding.
Oh, I know. Yeah. No, not yet. I know what you're going to say.
Thank you, Myrn. Yeah, it's later. It is in this scene, just not this
okay.
scene.
Maybe, anyway, bring it up later. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, I was also thinking when Brian gets back, he must be so jet-lagged.
He flew
from London to L.A. and then like spent like
almost killed
one
a man
night
and then
there,
got back
or
on
two nights and then came back.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, "What time is it? I'm gonna go out to Piccadilly Circus and get myself sleepy." I swear, I feel like I've been up for like.
I've
got
to go do some night racing to get back on track.
Dom, could you just drive me around for a little bit into our?
That's so adorable.
Could you drift me to sleep, Dom? And it's just to that who can say where the it's just a Dom drifting in the rain, just slowly along curves.
Drifting in the rain.
Brian sleeping in the backseat. Yeah.
All those moments will be gone, like drifting in the rain.
All right, so forget everything else. We're now here at the big scene.
Forget
gone
everything
Spain.
Else.
Who cares about that?
We've all got amnesia
forget everything
now.
Else about this movie, it doesn't matter. It's all forget everything else. It's all about amnesia. We are at the new set piece. They're not going to Spain. This was all a trick. There's a lot of stuff in the middle. It doesn't really matter.
There's a couple scenes we're skipping
Spain.
Over, but they
Spain, but they're not. Yeah, is
I did like. There's a scene with Letty and Owen Shaw, and I liked. He had a nice costume, which it kind of looked like he had like a tactical popped collar, and I appreciated that. It seemed like it told me a lot about the character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Basically, it's a bunch of shadowy stuff. Shadowy things happen for maybe 10 minutes.
They go to Spain. There is something important. They go to Spain, and they meet with NATO commander, stuffed shirt guy, and they discover, okay, the thing that the MacGuffin is here, and Owen Shaw is coming here to get it, so we have to get it out of here, and the Rock has a line.
But it's not there. Knowing what the MacGuffin is, it's not there.
No, it is.
It is. They have to. It is there. And then
they're moving it out.
Yeah, because he kind of tricks them into moving it so that he can attack it en route.
Yeah.
Yeah, he tricks them into moving it out of that.
Yeah, and then that's when Brian says, "No, it's not. He never lets you get near him unless he wants to. This is a trick." So he wanted them to move it so he could attack the convoy.
The egg,
but why did the guy with jet lag, who wasn't part of this process, figure it out? Whereas
because
everyone definitely knew.
Braga told him that. Shaw never lets you get close to him unless he allows it, which is apparently literal.
This is one of those things where Tej is only as smart as the movie needs him to be.
Yeah.
Because he would have definitely been like, this doesn't work.
The Rock
does
not figure it out. He has a great line here where he's like, we got to move it. Let's protect our little egg, move it out of the hen house, then we're going to wait for that goddamn fox to arrive.
It's a really long analogy. I love it.
That's what The Rock does in these movies. He like talks very quickly.
It's beautiful.
And you move past it and you don't really think about it too much. But if you really read like what that line is, it's insane.
But if you're going to be on a podcast about it and you rewatch just
and make sure you have the captions on and freeze the frame that has the caption and write it down, then you can see it.
And I'm very happy that you brought these points up. But from now on, forget what you've
forget
learned.
It all.
Forget what Myrn just said. It does not matter.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, the only thing I think that matters is Mr. Precision not being precise.
Now, cue the Conway Twitty because we're on a convoy.
Woo. We are on a convoy.
That's Conway Twitty, right? We're in a convoy?
I don't know.
You aren't country music experts? Okay.
Do you want me to start singing Eastbound and Down? Like I said, Smoking the Bandit is my only reference point before these films.
It's the song Convoy in Stroker Ace. I don't think Jarf will know it otherwise.
There's a movie Convoy.
I'm sure.
There is indeed.
So they're in a convoy. It's two small cars and a big giant honking truck with something on the back of it. Whatever this MacGuffin is.
What
cool.
could it be?
And they, so we've now got the team. We're back to our roots of heists on highways.
C.W. McCall. Just had to correct that. So you don't get letters. Maybe okay. Forget everything. Forget everything that's happened.
Forget C.W. McCall. We see Shaw's team start to create this elaborate trap, and they're doing this at the same time that Dom's crew is also driving toward the trap, the convoy. Mm-hmm. Everybody's trying to get there. Even the Rock's trying to get there. Everybody's trying to get there. And we see our first and best tech of the ep. It's the self-tightening super
love
rope.
Love it. And this is Han and Giselle are on motorcycles, and they deploy this thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This thing that will basically stop the trucks. It will cut the truck, the Jeep in half. I assume cutting the legs off the person that was in it, and then stop the truck. It's whatever the rope. It's vibranium, I think, yeah. Because I actually had a joke about that Spanish military camp looking like Project Super Soldier. But I feel like there's some secret next world stuff happening in this scene in the beginning of it and at the end of it. And so the self-tightening super rope stops both the car and the tanker truck. The truck, the rig that's
like
holding
you,
the
MacGuffin.
You
think the big semi is going to like flip over, but then right yeah. before that happens, a tank blasts through all the truck and the cab of the truck like it's tinfoil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know what that truck was made out of, but it wasn't whatever it should have been made out of because. I don't think if you put something metal inside of something metal, it'll just go through
it's
it.
It's like the boat race in Face Off. Like he goes, like a boat goes through another boat and is not damaged by it.
Yes. Like one boat somehow structurally denser. Yes. So a giant tank comes out and we get the great line from Tej. They're up on Tej is up with the binoculars on the overpass. The cars are all driving toward this and we got to change the plan. They got a tank and it's, and that's what I'm like. Okay, is this the greatest moment? No, this is not the greatest moment. It's
We're
the
building
lead
up
to the
it.
Greatest moment. The tank has arrived. Owen's in there, and Letty's in there, and some dude that's, I'm just going to call the
His
gunner.
Name's Jaw. Oh,
okay. In the movie or in real
in
life?
In the movie. His character name is Jaw. His actor name is Joe Taslim.
I like that they didn't put that giant guy in there.
You know, we find out he's somewhere else.
Right, he's not in the tank.
We found out.
Imagine?
Did we bring up that Owen Shaw? Oh no, that's later. Crap.
See, it's hard.
Never mind. He is somewhere else. That we'll just put that out as a teaser.
People keep going back to the same safe houses. It's very confusing.
I like that you're talking about the thing that keeps ripping through it rips through the convoy, like the tank rips through it, like it's paper. What I had was, why are the keys in the ignition for the super tank? Why does the tank have the ability to be yeah. stolen? Yeah. Yeah, why does it have the ability? You just got to push down on the brake, and then you push that start button.
Yeah.
Super tank starts up.
It takes Shaw's team, like, about 5 seconds to take over the convoy. Like, it's barely a thing.
Yeah, it's very quick.
And they're going to drive this tank, I guess? Drive this tank down the road and get away. But Dom and his team are there to stop it, and that's where the music starts.
It did really bother me. They show, so Shaw starts driving over other cars,
mm-hmm.
and killing everyone, and having a grand old time doing
it. He's like, he's playing like GTA in real life here. He's like on free mode in GTA. He has infinite life, infinite ammo, and he's just having a great time.
It's satisfying to watch, but it did really bother me because this is a man who just said, my whole thing is precision, yeah. and I don't care about anything. And then he's just like, let's run over that car and see what squishes. And they show Letty being upset, but I felt like Letty should have been well, he's clearly gone insane. Let's get him away from the controls.
What you didn't notice was that one of those cars, that little kid from Piccadilly Circus, was in his family.
No!
They had been doing a European adventure, and this is their second day out. And that adventure is cut short by Owen Shaw running over their family truckster.
He's finally asleep.
He finally went to sleep. And so basically now we've got the gang all jumping off things like Giselle and Han are on their motorcycles. They jump off to I guess, take care of one of Owen's team.
Yeah.
And they got the chase car, and we get don't ruin it for Jarf, but they're basically doing the exact thing they're going to do later on in the movie.
Yeah.
With her with a gun.
Yeah, there's a really nice moment where she sticks the guy up who's driving, and then Han's on the other side of the guy, and she's like glaring at the guy, and then she looks at Han and smiles, and it was just like, oh, my heart melted.
Kind of like I got you, boo.
Yeah, it was so adorable. They're my favorite. They're just such a great couple.
And at that moment is when right before the explosions start happening, when the tank actually starts firing on people, Dom says, "We do what we do best." And I was like,
"No, that's Brian, right? There's the line.
Oh yeah, it is Brian.
Tej says, "There's like where's Plan B? Where's Plan B?" And then Tej says, "Like we don't need Plan B, Plan C, Plan D. We need more alphabets." And then Brian says, "We do what we do best. We improvise." And then I wanted him to say, like, okay, who has a suggestion? I need a place and an activity you could do in the
freeway.
Place.
Freeway.
Yeah.
Freeway. Get crushed by a tank.
That would have been Roman. I will say the Roman character, I didn't really remember Too Fast, Too Furious. He had not made an impression on me. And by the time I was finishing the series this weekend, I was like, Roman is amazing. I love him. He's so dumb. I just want to hug him.
He's great.
He's so good. I love him in this bit.
What they've turned him into over the movies is just hilariously great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in a way, Jarf, just wait. He gets better and better. Like, every movie, he's not only a dumb idiot, like, he has skills. It's just hilarious.
Yeah, he's like the coward jokester, but then always comes through in the end to save the day. Like, he always ends up, you know, going along and, you know, and then in this section, he's in a car and he gets trapped in front of the tank because for some reason his car is not squishable. It just gets like,
yeah, I noticed.
I mean,
it
does get squished. It's eventually.
It's made from the same material as the tank.
So it just gets caught on the front of the tank, and the tank is like pushing it along. And then
I really wanted, when Brian said what we do best, and he said improvise, I wanted someone at the same time to go steal VCR DVD combos. And
improvise. Brian's
much
like,
better.
Did we do that? Oh, so long ago, I don't remember.
Well, I didn't do that. It'd be funny to be like, oh, well, I did it, but you didn't do it.
Actually, never. Brian should have gone like, I thought we agreed not to talk about that anymore, guys.
Remember you guys when you guys were the bad guys?
Yeah, remember when I was a cop?
Remember when I was a cop?
That was weird.
If you told
I'm not
me
a cop,
ex-cop.
I'm so far from that now.
Oh, it's so good.
But Roman gets caught in front of the tank, and he knows his car is going to get run over. So he has another vibranium cable in his car, and he wraps it around the gun of the tank. Mm-hmm. And then Brian rescues him,
and they both giggle and smile at each other like nothing has happened.
Everyone's having such a great time doing this.
Did you see that Brian has that shitty import? That's even the best part, is that Brian, of course, is driving some crappy little...
Even when it's like, we're doing some crazy, like, we're fighting military vehicles here. It's like, they've seen the flip car. They've seen that car, and he's like, yeah, just like a tiny little import.
Like a little, like a Peugeot. It's like, I'm going to drive this thing. Okay, Brian. And the only thing it has on it has rally lights on the front of it. like those big ass cans on the front.
But I didn't realize that. I love it. Han and Giselle have their moment, and now Roman and Brian get
and
their
old,
little
yeah,
moment
old
too.
Friends. In Too Fast, Too Furious, like Roman is the guy Brian's known the longest. They've like they're the oldest relationship in the series, probably.
Yep. Well, except for Letty and Dom.
Yeah, except for Letty and Dom.
Well, we'll get to that moment. It's coming. Don't you worry.
I think they knew each other when they were 15. It's just both of them were 15, so it's okay.
Yeah, yeah. Right now, Letty's still in a tank. It's very upsetting.
She's wearing a tank top in a tank. Oh,
appropriate.
Whoa.
Double tanks. So she is. She and Owen are still in the tank.
That's pretty good. That's a
really
good racer nickname,
dragging.
Double tanks.
Double tanks.
Oh, I want this episode to be named Tanks on Tanks.
That's good.
I still call 4x4 play.
Okay.
Okay, that's a good one.
I like that another name for Jarf. That's helpful. Usually we just got to figure it out.
Owen and Letty's tank is now dragging the Roman squished Mustang.
Yeah, so now it's like a tin can being dragged behind this tank.
And then it gets flipped, and now it's in between the meeting. They're on this overhead
Brian uses his rally car, kind of like he's like playing hockey with it a little bit. He's like pushing it along, trying to flip it over the. And he flips it so it falls.
He's air hocking it.
It falls between the two sections of the bridge, the viaduct.
Because what he's hoping is what'll happen is the people that are going north and the people that are going south, at some point they'll hit one of those things and it will literally stop. I don't know if it'll stop the tank, but it'll definitely screw up the tank driving forward.
Yeah, it'll be some kind of impediment. They're hoping.
And Shaw has now decided, I guess we're done with Letty, even though that was a deal breaker before, but he needed her to get in the tank. He didn't. He didn't need her.
Yeah, so he...
There's no reason why.
No, he sends Letty out to cut that car off.
Yeah.
Right, because he's going to kill her. He knows what he's going to do when he does it. I just didn't understand. You fought to keep her on your team.
Why do you think Shaw is killing Letty?
Because he sent her out there to get rid of it, and then he points the turret toward Dominic's like, here, what does he say?
That wouldn't have killed Letty.
I mean, I think he's showing that he doesn't have a lot of care for her, but I don't think he's actively
trying.
It would have killed Letty.
I'm not saying he's like, this is not a safe situation, but I think he expected Letty to cut that car free and then get back in the tank.
I do not. I think he knew what he was going to do. He was going to kill her, or at least throw her. I mean, he's basically going to kill her because, I mean, there's no way to stop her from being killed.
Thrown because of the car.
Yeah, she doesn't get thrown off the tank because of anything Shaw does. It's because of the car anchor.
Right,
yeah.
But he sent her outside to do an impossible thing. He knew that the car anchor is...
So you're saying he knew that she wouldn't be able to do that.
He knew what he was going to do. He knew he was going to use her, and maybe he didn't know what point he was going to use her as leverage against Dom, but now has become the moment. I'm going to put her on top of this tank, and then I'm going to basically put her in a position where she's going to have to be saved and or die.
Okay, so he's saying...
And then we'll completely demoralize their team, because they're all family.
That makes more sense to me. He's saying go up on top of the tank... Not to do the job, but it's like he's saying do this job, but it's more to show Dom and the team that she's there. So if you mess with this tank,
yes, he is trying to make the family say, "Oh my God,
yeah,
Letty's
if you mess
right
with
here.
This tank, she's here, she'll die too." So it's like you sort of like using hostage leverage
at the end of right before the moment where she goes flying off this tank. He purposefully turns the turret.
Yeah, he's trying to kill Dom, but he's not trying to kill.
He's
Letty.
Trying to kill
the
Letty.
Turret. Do you think the turret can aim backwards and hit Letty? I'm confused. Still confused.
Oh, no. I don't think he's trying to kill her with the tank. He's trying to kill her with her being on top of the tank. I think he's going to try and shoot at Dom.
Yeah.
But also, if Letty falls off, no biggie.
Well, yeah. No, I think if Letty falls off, no biggie. But I don't think that was the 3D chess of... She will fall off.
This is breaking down details we don't need to break down anymore.
I think we need a toy tank.
We need some action figures,
we
some
need
little army
to
guys.
Reenact this.
Oh crap, I hit my microphone.
We need to make a diorama.
We need more alphabets. Okay.
Okay, so my bottle of Purell is the tank. Right.
Okay. I've got a Pokemon chip and a glass.
Yeah,
so
here, hold that up.
The Pokemon will be Letty. All right, so here's where the scene happens. The scene that cemented me as a fan of this forever. It is Dom, with his Batman senses, knows what's going to happen.
He always knows.
He knows that anchor is about to hit something, and when it does, it's going to lurch the tank forward, and Letty's going to die. So he, a minute before it even happens, he puts on the gas. Like, he's not near where they are. He comes up and makes himself into a target before Owen Shaw turns the
turret.
What
did you call it before? So Toretto vision?
Yeah, it's Toretto vision. It's like a... It's the Batman thing. It's the I thought about this five steps. It's the three dimensional
as opposed to Tuna Tingle, which is what happens to Brian.
And they're now looking through a turret.
Brian has his Tuna Tingle. Toretto has Toretto Vision. And Toretto Vision allows him to he sees things ahead, kind of like that Sherlock Holmes movie with Robert Downey Jr. He sees 15 moves ahead and knows what's going to happen. So he drives up, and as he's driving, the anchor hits the middle of the highway. The tank lurches forward. Letty's flimsy form goes flying.
I don't call her flimsy. She's solidly built.
Compared to the tank. Yes, compared to the tank.
Compared to the impenetrable tank, sure. All right, I guess.
I'll give you
her
that
flimsy
one.
Form when flying.
Like drifting in the rain, she goes flying into the air in between this median. So she's either going to hit the side of the median or fall to her death like hundreds of feet above of Spain. Dom, of course, guns his car and jumps out of the car and drives has his car angled to where it's going to go into the other lanes of traffic on the other side. And as he jumps, he catches Letty in the air. Like Superman catching Lois Lane at the Daily Planet after the helicopter fell. He catches her and then turns his own body so that he's going to hit a windshield at probably 60 miles an hour, at least.
They're dead, definitely.
A minimum of 60 miles an hour.
The amount of, like, physics math that he would have to do to, like, calculate this thing is astronomical. Like, I just imagine, like, he has to have like a computer brain to be like, okay, wind velocity, okay, the tank's getting this, and then I jump out, the car's going this speed, and this other car that we're gonna land on is here. It's so good.
We do get it before the end of this chunk, right?
Yes.
His plan. I love that. But first, Jarf, I have to throw it back to the podcast we did before, and now I'm thinking of Carol Kane's Like a Fairy Tale.
And that's where this movie jumps the
overpass.
It jumps the overpass, which is actually not bad. Jumping the shark is bad. Jumping the overpass is when this movie decides,
yeah, it's
from
like,
now on, Dominic Toretto
it's
is
like
a superhero.
It's like the opposite of jumping the shark, yeah. Where it shifts into a new gear that's even better.
It is. It's another gear. It's seventh gear.
Yeah, yeah. I guess if you street race gear. Enough, just the exposure to Nas just enhances your body to yeah. a superhuman level.
Totally.
But you have to start when you're 15 years old and do it continuously.
Mm-hmm. He catches Letty. They smash into the windshield, and then he just looks at her, and she is in love with him.
Yeah, who wouldn't be? So and his perfectly white T-shirt is completely fresh, no stains, no blood. His perfect is designer.
It'd be awesome if he turned around and it's just the back of it is just blood. It's just shards of glass and blood,
glass all over his back. In the next scene, they're like picking it out one by one.
Yeah, the idea that a car breaking their fall
is
perfectly fine and.
I'm
going to
hit the softest part, the windshield, that soft, really cuddly part of the car. Yeah.
But this is jumping ahead a little bit, but when they circle back to this and talk about this, this is why I find these movies so comforting, because there are at least a dozen instances in every one where you know exactly what the character is going to say next. And I just find that somehow reassuring. Mm-hmm. So when Letty asks him, how did you know there was going to be a car to, quote unquote, break our fall? And he says, I didn't. That's poetry to me.
No, I think there is a line in this, too, about having faith. And that's what sort of Dom's superpower, I think. Mm-hmm. He just has faith that everything will work out. And it does.
Yeah.
Look, he said ride or die, figured it was time to die. You die, I die.
That's his code.
I wanted at least Roman or somebody like, did you see him? He jumped off the damn bridge into a car and he's fine. Like, I need someone to say something.
And it would be it. Roman. Yeah.
And then it just tells you, like, shut up, man. We don't talk
Let
about
them
that
have
kind
their
of
moment.
Stuff. We don't talk about that kind of stuff. I mean, to be fair, also, have you ever fallen with something in your hands? It's not like the thing in your hands is protected from the kinetic energy that's created by... She was also in motion. Mm-hmm. And he changed her trajectory, and they both landed.
Oh, the Superman catch killed her instantly.
So. Oh, yeah, it would have crushed her into him if he's so impenetrable. Yeah, she would
their
have been
organs would Both their organs
him.
Would just be liquid.
It was just, I was like, oh, that's why I love it. Oh, I love it so much. Jarf, in a future movie, he's going to start lifting heavier and heavier things, and you're going to be amazed.
I've seen him lift an engine block. That was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
That's nothing compared to what he's going to lift.
I will say one thing that my husband really enjoyed was later we get to see Hobbs fight people more and more his size. And he was like, this feels a lot better. Like, Vin Diesel looked very puny when Hobbs and Dom fight.
Yeah, he can't be standing on an apple box the whole fight.
Right.
Yeah. It's
just
like the Muppets
apple box
where they've,
out from under them.
They've built a set that's just the Rock is like 2 feet short, like smaller, and they've got Dom up on these little walkways, and the fight has to go right where those walkways are, so he can like, hey, it looks totally
there
normal. It's like, this is exhausting.
So have you caught the bad guys?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's all
over.
Over,
right?
They're, movie
is
over. Jarf, you can go to sleep.
They're discussing the hitting.
Movie's over.
And sort of.
Yeah, supposedly this scene here is the first time Letty and Brian ever talk to each other.
Wait, in the movies?
In the franchise?
I
and
actually
then I was
don't
thinking
doubt
back
that.
Over it, and I was like, that seems about right. Like, Letty and Brian have never had a conversation.
It did seem
before.
Kind of weird, almost. It's like, well, this seems odd. I think they've like been part of group scenes together, but not.
Yeah,
not
yeah,
like
definitely.
Directly.
But you're saying Letty's never gone, hey, Brian, come over here. I want to tell you something. Okay, Letty. Yeah. It's never been that. It's always been like, what are you two up to? Or, you know.
Yeah.
Why am I at this party? You know, those kind of things.
Yeah.
You may be right. That's hilarious.
But I like this. It's nice that they sort of have all the characters try and have some kind of interaction at some point, and that this is sort of the Brian Letty arc that started in Fast and Furious 2 movies ago. Mm-hmm. She was dead for a while, and now that she's back, he's like, you know, it's because I sent you undercover. That would be a whole spinoff I might watch. It would be like a TV show, Letty and Brian Undercover.
I really wondered what the writers were thinking, though. They're like, we just had a scene where someone was superhuman, but we're going to make sure Brian explains why he's sorry to Letty, because that's a plot hole we can't let just pass.
I also love that Letty has no interest in it.
Yeah. I wrote down the Thanos line. I don't even know who you are. Like, it's literally I took everything from you. I don't even know who you are. Her line's great because she's like, I know one thing. You wouldn't have been able to. No one talks me into anything, basically.
Yeah, I think that's I do what legit. I want to do. You can. It wasn't like he forced her. She chose to do that.
And I like that she even knows with her Swiss cheese brain that you might have done this, but I probably am the one who wanted to do it.
Yeah, I can tell just by the energy.
It's Brian, right?
I can tell based on the energy here that I would have been more in charge here. You know, whatever situation we were in, I would have been making the decisions.
Yeah.
Can we talk about, before we go tonight, we should definitely talk about the plan, Owen's plan to possibly kill Mia. I mean, I think Jarf's really worried right now.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Yeah. You know, we actually decided to do this in thirds, so it's just, you know, it's just the credits after this. This is the end of the movie. We're going to find out what happens in the next one.
Well, they straight up murder Mia, too. We can't remember that. That scene's hard to watch, man.
I was really, really upset. Jordana Brewster was one of the first women I loved.
remember when they throw her into that front of that car to see if Toretto's are genetically predisposed to being able to not go through windshields? And she isn't.
Yeah.
We find out she's a stepchild, so she can go right
Then you find out they were working for the government. It's to develop a super soldier serum. It's a whole awful thing.
Yeah, wait. So, if Tierney loves Jordana Brewster, is she also on Team Debs?
got to bring up Debs every time, Sharp.
He's contractually obligated.
Yes.
Funny that Toretto Vision didn't see this coming.
It's a blind.
Maybe it's only based on country.
There's a Debs blind spot. Toretto Vision can't see it. It's just like this black.
I'm so glad you had Mrs. Thor there to protect you. She literally does nothing, tells her to run, and then takes the baby. I know that Jordana Brewster is giving her the baby, but I see it as, oh my God, someone's here. Give me the baby. It's like, well, that's not really helping. Aren't you a cop?
No, that's a whole Mandalorian prequel that we just didn't understand at the time.
Gotcha.
I want to see the baby.
Where he goes, I go.
I think I did literally, like, gasp, though, when I realized where this was going the first time I watched
it. And you're wondering,
this.
Like...
Like, I have to admit it, I did not see it coming.
Yeah, you're starting to wonder, like, where is it, the giant and the blonde woman? And then, like, oh, they were on another mission. They kidnapped
Jordana Brewster. You're thinking almost like, it's like Seven, you're like... Does Owen Shaw have a box? And this has already happened? Like, did this happen a few hours ago? Like, this happened before the thing even... Yeah, and it's just like, what's in the box? It's like, oh my God, Mia.
What's in the box?
But we know she's alive.
What's in the box?
You don't have any food anymore?
I have some carrots, but I don't think that would have the same effect.
carrots
would make me sound more like, I don't know.
More
like what were you eating before? It looked like a brownie. On the video, it looked like a brownie.
It was toast.
It wasn't a brownie. That's not for dinner.
It was actually tuna on toast, so it should have made me sound like me sound like Brian.
That's so on brand.
But, yeah,
no crust.
No, I keep the crust on.
No. Oh, weird. That's weird. That's a weird way to eat tuna.
It's toast, and then I mix half an avocado into the tuna, so it's avocado toast and tuna toast. My invention. I suggest you should try it. It's good.
You're the only person that's probably ever thought of that.
Yeah, that's a good. Yeah, it's a good thing. I'm proud of it.
I like it.
Oh, thank you.
Sharing it with the world.
This is where I think when Tierney was talking about earlier, you know, he's into precision. This is where we get the he was into precision. He was precisely planning the other part of this, knowing he would probably get taken. Do you think he was planning to always be taken?
I don't know. I mean, like, it seems kind of more like an insurance policy than an actual like. This is the plan, because he just uses it like, okay, you're going to let me go.
And randomly squishing people on the highway doesn't.
Right, but that's the chaos. That's like, but that's his chaos. Like him being like, I'm just going to do some weird stuff. Like,
yeah. But like, I had a tank in just regular traffic, then I'm probably getting away because I'm in a tank and they're just cars.
Yeah, he's probably like a backup plan. I'm going to have to run over some cars to get away, so I might as well just enjoy it. And I know I have like half an hour before I need to get to wherever it is I'm driving this tank. I don't really know. Some secret cave hideout, maybe. Anyway, but yeah, he's just like, okay, I got 30 minutes. Might as well have some fun with this.
It's
I know,
like
I have my
in
insurance policy.
Super Mario when you get the invincibility star, and it's like, I don't even care if I beat this level. I'm just going to run, and I'm going to like knock off as many Goombas as I can.
So, yeah, that's where basically this chunk ends with him saying he's got a plan, telling Brian to call Mia. Brian calls Mia.
Brian looks so distraught.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was good acting.
And he punches him. And then do we get the part?
Brian always first.
Do we get the
punch.
Part where NATO commander stuff shirt is like, you know, two lives are not worth the sacrificing millions, and then The Rock is like, yes, they are.
I think that will kick off your next episode.
Well, we can have it. We drift. It's okay. Yeah. We encourage drift.
Yeah, I just like that's fine. Like another sign of The Rock being like, the rules aren't that important anymore. Family's
which
important.
Is funny again because compared to what he was. Created as last movie.
Yeah,
he
was just debuted as a character in the last movie where he was like, he's all about the rules, all about, you know, the paperwork. And now
he's like, I'm kind of enjoying this family thing.
Yeah.
Anything can happen in between the movies. Like,
true.
Obviously. Oh, well, they didn't make, this is one of the movies they didn't make a little short in between 5 and 6, like where it's just... Maybe it's Hobbs and Dominic throwing the football around in the backyard over at the Toretto house. I don't know. They're kind of bonding. He's like, you know, family's actually a lot better than baby oil. You know, you're right.
He's like, porque no los dos? Why not both?
Yeah. as of yet, I know in 9 there's a rocket plane with magnets and I don't know what's going to happen. So those great moments seem to be trying to ramp up. This was the most pure because it wasn't around a bunch of ridiculous stuff. Even the one, the second most important one with Daddy's got to go to work. It's during a ridiculous scene that it happens. So it's yet one note of a mini noted. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Whereas this is the, other than the tank coming out, it's really the most ridiculous thing in this
movie. Do you think there will ever be a point where they do something in a movie in this franchise where it's like, okay, that's too much. Like, okay, Dom just ran around the planet and turned back time.
He drove around the planet backwards to turn back time in a supercar.
I don't think they're ever going to do anything based on him running.
Yeah, he would be driving, but yeah, that would...
Yeah, I like the driving backwards theory.
Have we ever seen Vin Diesel run?
Oh, yeah, I can't. It's hard to picture.
Or is he usually just like walking? Maybe Pitch Black he runs.
Oh, in other movies, kind of like, yeah, and like Saving Private Ryan probably.
But has Dom ever
run? Oh, sure.
But in this series, I feel like, yeah, he's just kind of, he's either standing still or walking slowly or driving.
I'm not walking slowly. The earth is moving beneath my feet. Yeah. I'm moving the earth. Like,
hustled over to someone or to a car, but like that's still not like running.
But
that's
it's that fake jog we all do in the crosswalk to get across. And people are like, when it turns red, and you like just start kicking your arms up. You're not really moving any faster. You just make it look like you're really.
Or when someone's holding the door open for you.
When?
Oh, and you do have to do that little two step trot to kind of get up to. You're like, thanks, man. What I always do is wave him off and be like, just go on without me.
Do you think Vin Diesel has ever, like, as a child maybe, but like, when's the last time you think Vin Diesel skipped?
I don't know. He's a dad, and he's not as good a dad as The Rock, as we've learned from Twitter, but I think he would do something goofy
with
his kids.
Yeah, if his kid wanted to
just play
with his
kid,
he
would never video. He would never.
I do have to say, The movie The Pacifier has a special place in
it's actually pretty cute. I haven't seen it, but
Our in between 6 and 7?
It's cute. It's harmless. Like, it's not a big deal, but I will overshare quickly, and it's hanging out with Jarf that's doing this to me. I had a depressive episode, and I was, like, on the floor in my kitchen. And all I could think of was in the beginning of the Elizabeth Gilbert, I think is her name, the woman who wrote Eat, Pray, Love. The first chapter is she's on her bathroom floor crying, and God tells her, don't worry about it. Like, just get up, wipe your face, and go to bed. And I was crying on the floor of my kitchen, a tile floor, and I thought, I wonder if God will tell me to get up and go to bed. And instead, what came to my brain was the song that Vin Diesel sings in The Pacifier. and singing that to myself is what I did to calm myself down to be okay to get up and like wipe my face off and go out for another day. And so I cannot not love that, even though it is ridiculous that is.
The Lord speaks in mysterious ways.
Tierney, do you?
And by mysterious, I mean weird, like my voice.
Do you feel like I do? Like the song that I released, feel like I do?
Wait, didn't he release another one?
Yeah, there's two
now.
The second one's even better, actually.
This is getting out of hand. Now there are two of them.
Yo, what's the second one? It's actually pretty good. It's like days are gone or something.
I can't believe he hasn't released one called All Love.
All Love Always. Yeah. That'll be next. I'm sure he's going to do more.
He's,
now that it's more than one, it's just like nothing's going to stop him.
Oh, my God. Well, this COVID thing, it's awful for everyone except Vin Diesel's career, which is just, we're all just like, what's he going to do next? What's next? Is he going to sing something? Okay, cool. And now he's in a helicopter scouting movies, but only putting hashtags for old movies. I'm like, what is happening? Like, it was such a weird day today. He was like, I'm out scouting for movies, super happy about it. Hashtag Toretto Tuesday, hashtag blood spot, whatever it's called, blood sport, hashtag
bloodshot,
bloodshot, thank you, blood
Wait,
spot.
I was on unaware of Toretto Tuesdays.
Oh, yeah. He posts all
Toretto Tuesday, amazing. And then there's Happy Creative Thursday. Or is it, yeah, Happy Creative Thursday. I think Happy Creative can be any day.
These are his, not us. I mean,
that's so sweet. I love no, that.
We have our own. We have Fast Friday. We have Toretto Tuesday. We borrowed from them. Yeah. We got
Sung Kang Sung Day. And Monica Monday.
Beautiful.
Monica Monday. Basically, we can't ever get the show out on a consistent date. So whatever day, it has to have a Fast and Furious style theme if it comes. It's like, hey, it's Monica Monday.
Wednesday, I don't know if we have a word for Wednesday yet. So it's just it can't be Wednesday.
No, we're not there. We're not there. Never Wednesday. It could be Samoan Thursday.
Oh.
Yep.
I just added that one. So now we have five of the seven days.
Everything except Wednesday and Saturday.
Right now, that's where
we could do Stack Saturday.
You could.
We can't name it after someone.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous, Jarf. Come on.
But it's the husband of one of your guests. Thing? What's more
that's
relevant
like calling
than
it
that?
That's like calling it Fingers Friday. Come on, man. We can't have this.
Daddy's got to go to work Wednesday.
Oh, that's great.
She did it.
Perfect.
There you go.
Daddy's got to go to work Wednesday. Oh. I say that to my kids so often. Daddy's got to go to work. They don't get it because they don't watch those movies. So they have no idea what I'm talking about.
Also I work the house.
Yeah. Would you like my fan theory on 9 based on a millisecond of the film?
No, sure. Of course.
Because
oh, you didn't watch. Did you not watch the whole 4-minute short film that is that trailer?
I felt like it went on for a while, but there was a girl, and given the time difference, given how big someone who we see as a baby, who we see as a child in that trailer,
mm-hmm.
given the age difference of that character, I think that 9 will not feature Hobbs. Maybe like a cameo sort of thing, but will heavily feature Hobbs's daughter.
Oh.
That she will become part of the family, and that's how they will get away with not having the Rock.
Yeah, she could be like a cool teen really now. Like a cool teen hero.
Yeah, because you see someone, and it looks about the right age, and she had too long, and I was like, I think that's supposed to be the Rock's
daughter. Boy, what a slap in the face of the Rock to be like, yeah, we're just going to take your character's daughter and make her part of this family, and you're not part of this family.
According to Tyrese, he betrayed family. So,
yes, Tyrese does not like her. Him, excuse me. He's fine with her, I assume.
Yeah, sure.
The daughter.
We'll find out.
We'll find out.
Hey, God, she has to have the line like, sometimes daddy's got to go to work, but sometimes it's take your daughter to work day.
Oh, I like that. And she's got her own cat. I almost said what he breaks.
Beautiful.
I almost said it. I almost said it. That's great.
Okay.
Perfect.
Yeah. How do we end these? The gate.
You guys tell me.
It's the gate.
Sorry,
thank you.
I slipped for a second.
It's okay, Mr. Banks.
Mr. Banks.
Mr. Banks.
How is Banks, by the way? Is she good? Yeah, we have to her back on now. She's a great lady.
Yeah.
All right, well, we can stop talking about guests that aren't on right now and talk about our guests that are on. Jarf, Tierney, thank you for coming on. Jarf, for this is your three-peat, thank you. Tierney, thank you for coming on. And thank you for becoming a fan of the movies and then wanting to be on our show.
You put in the work. You just chugged a big 2-liter of Fast and Furious for us.
Mm-hmm. It was very entertaining, and I was very happy because I think I mentioned I have two friends who are big fans of these movies, big fans of Han, and they referenced some things that are coming up in their wedding vows. They did not go, they were going to include Ride or Die, and then it turned out to be the one thing that their mothers agreed on, that there shouldn't be Fast and the Furious quotes in their children's marriage, like actual wedding vows.
I don't understand that at all. One, my mother did not have a say in what I got to say to my wife, but damn, I wish I'd said Ride or Die. That'd been cool as shit.
But they did have their last dance of the evening was Danza Kuduro, and
nice.
I have That's this awesome. Amazing memory of all of it. And we all met up in grad school. We'd been friends for like, wouldn't have been 10 years at this point, but like...
Since you were 15.
We were family. Like, it actually, the Maid of Honor's speech was all about how we were each other's found family, that we had all found each other. And I was crying at that point. And I just found out I was pregnant, but wasn't telling anyone yet. I was doing that thing where like you go over to the bartender and you're like, can you make me something that looks like a drink, but actually does not have any alcohol in it because I can't tell anyone yet. And so that's a very like warm memory in my heart. And so once I hit that movie and that song started pumping, I'm like, yeah.
That's great.
This is the greatest thing ever.
It is. And these movies are great. These movies bring out great feelings. And this is the best family one so far.
Yeah,
this is the one. I just remembered. I have a podcast note from Nikki to share.
Oh.
So okay. She said that the name for your podcast, The Cast and the Furious, it's, and I quote, okay. But she said that it would be improved if it was The Cast and the Curious because of the alliteration.
I think that was
And
George
because she
Hendrick's
thinks curiosity
suggestion.
Is better than being furious.
That's a good
well,
point.
Here's my note back to Nikki on the name of our podcast. Tell Nikki maybe she should go check the internet, and there's already a podcast called The Cast and the Curious that already existed.
Oh, shoot.
And we were like, actually, we never were going to pick it. Because you know what? I don't like the C's. I don't like The Cast and the Curious. Like, it's too...
It gets a little far from the original title. Like, it could be about anything. Like, what are we curious about? I don't know. I guess it still sounds pretty close.
And it's a podcast, and we want it to be cast. Nikki. my new enemy.
Nikki. I was going to say thank you for your feedback. We appreciate it.
Well, that's you, Murren. You're the nice cop. I'm the bad cop. Do your homework, Nikki. Keep it to yourself.
There's already so many Fast and Furious podcasts that like do half the movies and then give up. We're not doing that. We're doing all of them.
Nope.
Eventually.
And also, there is a Cast and the Furious one that came out 1 month after us. If you ever go rate and review us, you will see some one stars. I guarantee you those are from them.
Oh, no.
Because who would give us stars at all? First of all. And second of all, who would give us one star?
Who would
star?
Take We're the time?
Oh.
Because everyone who listens to our podcast are people that we know and are friends of ours.
Yes. All right.
Speaking of friends of ours, I have my code. Jarf, do you have a code?
Yeah.
What? Oh, yeah. What's your code?
I want to make sure I'm not stealing it from you.
Mm-hmm. Code?
His code is a good night's sleep.
Oh, Jarf wants a good night's sleep. Because if we're going with precision, loyal family, my code is going to be hope.
Oh.
And then I get to make... All the I am an optimist. Hope does work, but also then I get to make so many Star Wars references. That's mm-hmm.
Very,
exciting.
Very sincere.
Let
of
her
you.
Speak.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah,
that's good.
How can you not?
My code is probably friends. Friends above all. You got to be with your friends. That's
and
my
a little
code.
Bit of mayhem.
I don't got friends. I have family.
Friends are just the family I've met along the way. Wait, what? No.
That does sound like a line from these movies, though.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure someone has said that there something close to that. All right. Well, Tierney, Jarf, thank you for being on.
Yeah.
We will talk to you all next time, next week, when we are going to record
these are
in between
to be weekly, aren't they?
So yes, weird. Remember?
Yeah, I remember last week when I listened to this episode.
I know, it was so good. I'll just change the names on the
you can just go
the,
back and change all the dates
RSS
so it looks
feed.
Consistent.
There you go.
All right, well, until next time, ride or die.
Ride or die, Jonathan. I was going to call you. I was like, Bandit. You call me my real name. Okay.
You call me Bandit. You call me Bandit. It's okay.
And all our previous nicknames are still valid.
Ride or die, stopwatch.
Ride or die, the gate.
ride or die, everybody.
Ride or die, fluid justice.
Ride or die,
fluid
ride or die battery daddy.
What's his new name? He came up with another one, too. Oh, 4x4play.
Oh, four.
That's something you said earlier, and then I said it again, and you were like, I like that.
Well, I didn't think of it as a name. I say a lot of dumb crap.
I like that you had the food in the mouth, Marin.
That's my solution.
I'll start.
It sounds like more like Vin Diesel. When I have my food in my mouth.
Oh, it actually sounds like Vin Diesel. All right.
Yeah, there we go.
That's his secret. He's got food in his mouth all the time.
Always. All brownies, always. All right. All lasagna, always. Welcome back to the Cast and the Furious. It's 2021. I feel better. I've showered. 2020's gone. We're done with it. And I'm back with my pal, Murren. Murren has mouthful of food.
What's up, Jonathan?
Oh, my God.
A real sloppy boy this time. No precision whatsoever.
You know what? We figured it out. In the green room, we figured out that Murren eating food is his best Vin Diesel.
Yeah, I had to demonstrate it, you know, for the public.
Oh, wait. Did I actually start recording my... Nope, didn't record myself yet. All right, we're going to start over.
Okay. Well,